This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Detroit residents and fans of craft brewing watched an incident play out that has left a number of people disturbed and or angry. Founders Brewing Company opened up a facility in Detroit. An African-American employee complained of racial discrimination at that Founders pub, and he filed a lawsuit. During a deposition, the employee accused of discrimination took the odd approach of answering questions by essentially saying he didn't know if the employee was African-American. He also said he didn't know if Barack Obama was black. How was he supposed to know the ancestral history of anyone? Now, it's hard for me to understand how anybody would think that this is a good legal strategy, but when the deposition was leaked, it is fair to say a lot of people were outraged. The lawsuit was settled, but Founders closed the facility temporarily. It won't open again until sometime next year. And Founders has taken a real hit in public perception in Detroit and in its business. Now, all of that, I say, because it got us thinking whether it's a brew pub or a restaurant or whatever, how welcome are people of color in the hospitality industry? Do businesses owned by people of color face obstacles that white people don't? So we've asked Chef Phil Jones to join us. He's worked in dining establishments from the Rattlesnake Club to the original Fishbones in Greektown and developed 400 recipes for the soup chain Zoop. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We also asked one of the Michigan's craft beer brewers, an excellent one in my opinion, to join us. Kuma Ofori-Mensah is a brand manager at Batch Brewing Company in Detroit. Kuma, good to talk to you again. This time we'll have to do it without pints of ale in front of us.
I'm glad to be here.
A few years ago, I did a story where I stopped by 10 downtown Detroit establishments in one night just to see who was visiting the bars and the restaurants. And in 9 of them, the majority of the patrons were white, and sometimes it was a vast majority, and a large part of the staff at these places was white. That's in a city where African Americans are 80% of the population. Now, you guys, how does that make sense?
It doesn't, not at all. It's remarkable how you could have an establishment inside the city of Detroit and then not have black faces. Is it intentional? That's a question. It kind of feels like it in a lot of cases, and I'm not sure if any efforts have been made to even change that. You know, do these establishments want us there? It's quite questionable these days.
Kuba, what do you think?
So I would agree. It's hard to tell. You can't really tell if it's intentional or not. I like to believe in most cases it's not, but I think what tends to be lacking is an active effort to say, like, hey, I'm building my business here in Detroit, and like I want to include who has been here, who is already here. I want to include those diverse faces, and I want those people to be here, working here, managing here, and like eating and drinking here. So
in your experiences, what is the attitude toward people of color in the places you've worked at?
Well, for me, I've seen blatant racism. I've seen subtle racism. I've seen neglect for folks of color. And I'm an outlier in so far as that I've been in management and I've been the face of a few places, but it's a rare thing. I mean, I've experienced having to beg for a raise for 6-7 months, and then my white counterpart gets the same raise immediately without saying a word. I've watched people of great capacity get walked over and passed by for promotion, and it's been consistent throughout my career that I've seen these things.
Kuma, you're a little younger than the chef. What have you seen so far?
The challenge is always trying to understand, like, okay, is it truly my job performance that is holding me back, or is it something else? And I think that when you're in that position where you're one of few black folk or people of any color in an establishment like that, you're constantly asking yourself, am I doing enough? Is it because of my performance, or is it something else? And you don't want to assume that's anything else necessarily, but it reaches a point where you got to start asking that question. It's just part of existing that space.
I look at also I look at the attitude of the young folks, the millennials and the hipsters that are coming into the city, and they're coming in and being given opportunities that the folks that who have stuck around aren't being have never been given. And I'll use a specific example in the Fort Street Galley downtown. They had a sandwich concept that came in and didn't do well. And even if they had done some minor due diligence, they would have known that there was a parking issue. If they had done any of the things that black folks have been required to be, get into businesses here with a business plan, they would have known that their model wasn't going to work. And then as they departed, they insulted folks and said, you know, I guess people downtown don't care about good food. And, you know, we, as black business owners, have tried myself personally to get in the spaces. And they say, the first thing I say is, well, where's your business plan? What are the feasibility studies saying for you? All these questions are asked, and it doesn't seem to be being asked of folks these days. And these opportunities are being handed out left and right, and very rarely for people of color. And it's disturbing. It's, you know, why are the standards changing now? And we've had these spaces sitting here for years, and people have been trying to get into them. But all of a sudden, when the colors of the folks that are looking to get in the spaces change, they open up. And it's distressing. It's absolutely distressing.
Well, that's something you're touching on, something I wanted to ask about, and that is it still more difficult to get investment capital or loans from the bank or stuff like that when you're a person of color going into business?
It definitely is. There's always another level of due diligence that you're asked for. There's always another financial question. There's always an extra step that you have to go through. And this is not afforded, you know, the luxury of being able to actually get in here and get into a space, get financing is minimal for people of color. You know, our institutions are not very friendly to us, and we have a historic lack of wealth inside the black community, and it's that level of wealth is going down as we speak. You know, our median income is looked to be zero sometime in the near future, and it makes it hard for anybody to get forward, you know, move forward, because we don't have the wealth in our families. You know, it's
right, that intergenerational wealth.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're starting a few yards behind somebody in the race to move forward.
Kumail, I want to talk about your business a little bit. The people buying Michigan IPAs or Hefeweizens, they tend to be white, often men. Craft beer is mostly made by white guys. It's only recently that we've seen women and people of color moving into brewing. So what do you make of that?
I think it speaks a lot to actually some of what Chef was saying earlier. And it's that, you know, the opportunities seem to be, the door seems to be wide open. It seems to be wide open and easy for exactly what we're seeing in the brewery. You're seeing a lot of white faces, a lot of male faces. And so I think it perpetuates itself. I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, when you look at that industry, when you look at who's drinking, when you look at who's making it, and it's just like, if you don't see yourself there, do you necessarily see that as an economic opportunity? And I think the growth in that industry that you've seen has been very much driven by, you know, pretty much just white guys saying, like, oh, yeah, that other dude did it. I could probably do it. And then that, you know, you're not seeing that representation of black folk and other people of color in the maker spaces. Like, still to this day, in Michigan, there are, if I had to guess, I haven't met everyone, but like fewer than 10 brewers, and we're at the point where we're approaching 400 breweries. I've seen plenty of black folk.
10 brewers of color? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yes, I would say, I would estimate 10, at most 20. Like, I'd be glad to get challenged on that, and like, if someone's got a number, but like, from all the people I've met and what I've seen out there, that's about it.
So, Chef, how much of a chance do you get to encourage or mentor people of color in your profession? I mean, are there enough opportunities out there for them, and can they rise to the level you have?
Well, I intentionally work inside of those spaces, and I seek out opportunities to lift and up young folks into our profession, being, as Kuma was saying, the example. And, you know, you can't reach for something that you can't see. And so I like to position myself in a place that young folks can see that this is a viable career, that is something noble, it is something worthwhile, and it is something that can and should be pursued. But I have to work at it. And a lot of folks that are in my position that aren't of color don't necessarily take the effort to work at it. And it's a lost opportunity for our community, but it's a lost opportunity for other folks, because diversity inside the workforce actually builds the workforce and it strengthens it, especially in the area of food. We look at biodiversity and planting and how that strengthens the soil, and it creates a buffer for incidents. And it's the industry's loss. You know, I find it amazing to walk into a restaurant and the only faces of color in the back, and sometimes it's not even there. And how do you do that in a city that's 80% black?
I do want to ask each of you what you think your respective industries, you and your fellow professionals, can do to change things where you live and work.
I think in the craft brewing industry specifically, I've seen the jokes that it's just like signs of gentrification include like yoga studios and like craft breweries, and there's some truth to that. I think as a brewery in any one of these areas, Detroit specifically, but then any one of these areas, if you set up shop in a place that historically that is a community that has not had the same opportunity as you, I believe you truly have a responsibility to reach into that community and say, how can I give you a platform? How can I give you opportunities? How can I give you a space to tell your story? How can I give you a space with my brand to say, this is who was here, these are who were here, and invite people like that into your space, invite that community, invite black folk, invite people of color, people who don't have those same opportunities into your space, give them an opportunity, give them a place to tell their story these are the people who are always there. Give them a chance, give them an opportunity, but it has to be intentional.
This issue is so pervasive. I think we could be here for days on end trying to
that's real.
Examine it. We have to address things like African and Caribbean food not being given the same amount of deference in terms of world cuisines. African food has been so devalued, that it's looked upon as something that someone of a lower class would do. You can't get the same amount of money for black and African food because it's looked upon as cheap. But if you take a chicken breast and you put African spices on it, it costs just as much as if you put Italian spices or French touches accents on it. And you still can't get the same amount of money. It needs to change, and so we need to elevate African and black food. And personally, one of the things that I've done recently, I've launched an initiative called Chefs of Color, and it's an umbrella organization. There'll be some compartmentalizing because different communities have different needs, but we don't see any of the solutions with black faces inside of the design or the implementation of solutions. And so what we're looking to do with Chefs of Color is to create those safe spaces, actually explore the trauma, which there is a lot of trauma inside of our industry that people of color experience, and we're trying to address that, and we're going to do it for ourselves because it has to happen.
Chef Phil Jones, legendary chef in the Detroit area and way beyond there. Kuma Ofori-Mensa is brand manager at Batch Brewing Company in Detroit. Thanks for taking the time to tell us about this.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.